Okay, picture this. Two roommates living in New York City, they decide to start this podcast. Super raw, totally unfiltered, talking about sex, relationships, everything. Now just jump ahead a few years. That same show. It's not just big. It's a multi-million dollar media empire. They're getting guests like huge pop stars, Miley Cyrus, and even, you won't believe this, the Vice President of the United States. Today, we're diving deep into exactly that phenomenon. Call her daddy. So our mission here is to really unpack how it shot up so fast, you know, from those roommate beginnings. We'll get into the really dramatic, very public split between the original hosts and trace its wild ride through these massive distribution deals. We want to figure out how Call Her Daddy became one of the biggest shows on the planet and honestly what that says about digital media now and like creator power. Get ready because there are some genuinely surprising bits here, some insights into how, well, being authentic, making some smart business moves, and having this super loyal fan base can build a, well, a cultural juggernaut. Not. Okay, let's unpack this. Starting right at the beginning, how did two friends grab such a huge audience so fast?
It really is quite the story. So Call Her Daddy kicked off in 2018. Alex Cooper and Sophia Franklin, roommates, like you said. The original idea, I mean, it was pretty bold for the time. Explicit talks about sex, relationships, dating, all with this very distinct New York City vibe and humor mixed in. It wasn't just pushing boundaries. It felt like a really direct, unfiltered conversation that just wasn't happening in the mainstream.
Direct is maybe putting it mildly. It just exploded, didn't it? What was it about their style, besides the topics themselves, that just clicked so hard with people? I felt like the audience was just waiting for this.
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
I think the authenticity wasn't just what they talked about, but how. It was super candid, vulnerable sometimes, often hilarious, maybe a little cringeworthy here and there, but always felt relatable somehow. That created this immediate connection, almost like you were listening in on friends talking. And the numbers, well, they back it up. Downloads apparently jumped from, what, 12,000 to 2 million in just a couple months. That kind of speed for that kind of niche, pretty provocative content. It was really unusual. It showed there was this massive hunger for raw, personal stuff that, you know, traditional media just wasn't delivering.
And that hunger definitely smelled like money to some people. It wasn't long before places like Barstool Sports came knocking, leading to that first big deal in 2018. Now, the terms of that first contract, the three-year one, they're super important for what happens next. Cooper and Franklin got a base salary, 75 grand each, plus bonuses and a cut of merch sales. Sounds okay, right? But here's the kicker, the thing that causes all the drama later. The contract gave all the intellectual property, the IP of Call Her Daddy, entirely to Barstool. That feels like such a classic early creator deal, you know, heavily weighted towards the network.
Oh, absolutely. It's a pattern we see all the time in media. For Barstool, it made sense. Lock down this rocket ship of a show. They gave them the platform, the marketing boost, that initial financial security. And for Cooper and Franklin, well, it gave them legitimacy, a clear path to making money that might have been tougher totally on their own right at the start. But as the show's value just soared millions of listeners, serious revenue. Those initial terms started to look, well, pretty unbalanced. The power shifts, you know. Once the creators prove the concept works and build that loyal audience, suddenly IP ownership, that becomes the fight.
And oh boy, did it become a fight. This is where the story gets really juicy. The behind-the-scenes drama that had millions hooked, even people who didn't listen regularly. So after an episode called Keisha, the end, dropped on April 8th, 2020, boom, no more new episodes. Just stopped. And no real explanation for the fans. The host just put out this statement on Instagram, something like, "We legally can't speak out yet." What did that public silence do? Did it help or hurt?
Well, it wasn't just silence, was it? It was more like controlled chaos. Saying they legally can't speak out, that practically guaranteed everyone would start guessing. It just amplified everything, turning this private contract fight into this huge public drama, almost like reality TV. And because there was no real info, you had all this tabloid gossip, wild theories flying around fan forums, it became a massive media story in itself. It really showed how invested people are in these creator platform relationships, especially when you mix in money, ownership drama, and personal stuff. Everyone wanted to know what was going on.
Yeah. Everyone, except, apparently, Barstool founder David Portnoy, who decided not to stay silent. May 17th, he drops his own 30-minute episode, telling Barstool's side, and he did not hold back. He laid out contract details, said Barstool had offered them way more money, like 500K base salary each, a big jump. He also claimed Barstool was losing 100 grand for every episode they missed during this break, really hitting the financial angle. Portnoy basically said Alex Cooper had agreed to new terms, but Sophia Franklin wouldn't sign, and that's why she was out. And then came the whole suit man thing. Portnoy publicly calls out Peter Nelson, who was Franklin's boyfriend and an HBO sports exec, the guy they'd called suit man on the show. Portnoy accused him of telling Franklin not to take the Barstool deal, even said Nelson was trying to shop the show to other companies. It felt like pure PR warfare.
It really did. Seeing a talent network fight play out so openly like that, it was pretty wild and kind of a rare glimpse into these high-stakes negotiations. It really highlights the bigger picture in media disputes, you know. When creators get real leverage, like Cooper and Franklin obviously did, those early contracts often just don't hold up. And the whole IP issue, especially in digital media where value can explode unexpectedly, becomes absolutely central. For both Alex and Sophia, this very public split, yeah, it was dramatic and probably tough personally, but it absolutely reshaped their careers. It showed the risks, but also the potential rewards of fighting for what you think you're worth.
Right. So after all that fireworks, Alex Cooper decides, okay, I'm doing Call Her Daddy by myself. Announces it late May 2020. She did initially say she'd find a new co-host soon, but that didn't really happen in the same way, did it? Not like a permanent partner. And Sophia Franklin, she launched her own show, Sophia with an F. So this whole thing, from the start to the breakup, was a huge turning point for the show. Okay, so you go from this massive legal fight, this public split, to evolving the content. The show became this magnet for huge platforms. How did the content actually change after the split, and how did that help it grow even more?
It's actually quite interesting how quickly Alex adapted. You know, originally, Call Her Daddy was almost entirely about the explicit sex and dating talk. That was his brand. But after leaving Barstool with Alex hosting solo, she smartly kept some of that raunchy vibe that the core fans loved. But she also broadened the focus quite a bit, started bringing in topics like mental health, interviewing actual clinical psychologists, therapists. It felt like a really strategic move, not just to mix things up, but probably to appeal to a wider audience and, let's be honest, make the show more attractive to big advertisers and platforms looking for content that's maybe a bit safer, but still grabs attention.
That totally makes sense. More diverse topics equals potentially more listeners, more ad money, wider appeal. And Cooper's talked about how intensely they produce the show now, right? Saying every moment needs to be saturated with content so people don't tune out. What does that even mean for a podcast?
Yeah, it's a fascinating look at how modern digital stuff works. Saturated with content basically means zero wasted time. No dead air, no rambling. Every single line has to deliver something. Info, entertainment, a laugh. Think really tight editing, quick transitions. Just relentless focus on keeping you listening. It's the opposite of just two people chatting aimlessly. That sharp focus on engagement, that's key for success online where, you know, attention spans are short and the next thing is just a click away. It shows she really understands the audience and the platform.
And the guests started reflecting that shift too. August 2020, Miley Cyrus comes on right after the relaunch, talks openly about her breakup with Liam Hemsworth. That was massive, huge pop culture moment, really put the solo show on the map. Then even more surprisingly, October 2024, Vice President Kamala Harris is on the show, talking about, you know, major U.S. issues, even addressing personal criticism about not having biological kids. And just to be clear here, we're just reporting what was discussed impartially, like in the source material, no political takes from us. But still, a sitting VP choosing that show, it says a lot about its reach, right? Its perceived importance.
Absolutely. Going from Miley Cyrus on breakups to the vice president on policy and personal attacks, that shows an incredible leap in the show's perceived weediness, I guess. It's not just entertainment anymore. It became this legitimate channel for really high-profile people to talk directly to a specific, very engaged group of listeners, kind of sidestepping traditional news outlets. That broader appeal, plus Alex Cooper's proven skill at building that loyal fan base, made the show incredibly valuable to the big distributors.
And that value translated into just mind-blowing deals. June 2021, Alex signs an exclusive deal with Spotify, worth a reported $60 million. Though, interestingly, Barstool still handled the merch, right? Shows how some business ties can linger even after big splits.
$60 million was huge, but that wasn't even the ceiling. Just a few years later, August 2024, she inks an even bigger deal with SiriusXM, this one. A reported $125 million, making SiriusXM the new exclusive distribution and ad partner, taking over from Spotify. Although it's worth noting, the plan is for the show to still be available on Spotify too, but SiriusXM gets exclusive stuff starting 2025. These deals, I mean, they show this massive power shift. It's almost unprecedented. We're moving away from platforms owning creators towards creators being the incredibly valuable assets that platforms are fighting tooth and nail for. It just flips the whole traditional media model on its head. Shows the insane market value now placed on independent creators with direct audience connections.
Seriously, imagine having those kinds of numbers. And the audience, the daddy game they call themselves, it's not just listeners, it's like a movement. Back in 2020, Call Her Daddy was already number 5 on Spotify's most popular list. But it wasn't just a flash in the pan. No way. From 2021 right through 2024, it was consistently number 2 on Spotify, second only to Joe Rogan for 4 straight years. As of 2024, like 3.7 million followers on Spotify alone, third most followed podcast there. We're talking over 5 million weekly listeners, maybe an average of 10 million per episode. It's huge. And then in January 2025, they got Spotify's Silver Creator Award for hitting 250 million streams. Just incredible numbers.
Yeah, those figures aren't just impressive. They signal a fundamental change in how people consume media. This whole phenomenon really proves the power of, well, niche content finding its audience, creators building direct relationships, and fostering this super loyal community online. And the success didn't go unnoticed by the industry. Either won Show Podcast at the Streamy Awards in 2022. This kind of engagement, this creator valuation, it really makes you ask, what does this mean for traditional media? The old gatekeepers, they're now competing directly with individual creators who have audiences just as big, sometimes bigger, and arguably more loyal.
So we've traced Call Her Daddy from those raw roommate days through the contract fights, the content shifts, right up to these multi-million dollar deals with media giants. It's really an amazing story about having a unique voice and being super adaptable in this crazy, fast-changing media world. And for you listening, you've really seen how one creator navigated some seriously complex business stuff, changed up her content strategically, and built this massive, dedicated community. It just highlights how valuable authenticity and strategic independence are today. It's kind of a masterclass for anyone trying to build something online.
Definitely. And when you think about that $125 million SiriusXM deal for Alex Cooper, that kind of valuation for one creator, it's more than just about a podcast. It feels like a signpost for where content is going. Are we going to see more creators essentially become their own media companies, signing these giant deals directly, holding all this power? And how will platforms like Spotify and SiriusXM keep competing for these super valuable direct audience relationships like the one with the Daddy Gang? What's the next step for making money off these connections? Is it beyond ads and exclusive deals? It feels like we're still just scratching the surface of what these creator-led media empires can become.